Sharing information on the internet is profoundly changing how we communicate. In the near future, using the internet will be as common as using telephone services we have today. In some cases, I suspect we'll hardly even notice when we're online. To give you an idea of how different things may be in just a few years, let's take a look at the future.
Hello! And welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's the star of Cult of Mac Magazine's upcoming Summer Swimsuit Edition, Buster.
Kiney. Me? I'm the cover on it? Yes.
You're going to be the centerfold, my friend. Did you not get the memo?
No.
Oh, man.
I guess I'll have to pry my pecs for that.
Also joining us, we call him the Gov. The Germans call him Herr Kaney. The Spanish know him as El Baracho. Leander Kaney is here.
El Baracho. I've actually officially given...
Do you actually know what that means?
I do. A drunk.
Oh, no. I thought it was going to be a secret.
No, I know exactly what it means. Not that I've been called it before. Right.
No longer.
I mean,
you don't drink anymore.
Totally giving up drinking, yeah.
But it's hard to get rid of that reputation. And I think in the next few months, we may see a turnaround. Also with us, with more stories from the Cult of Mac, David Pierini.
Hello.
David, what's going on?
Not much. How about you?
I saw a picture of you.
You did.
Recently. Actually, one of our listeners, Tracy Bieniemen, who makes tons of great Cultcast artwork, our album artwork, he found a picture of you online somewhere, and he put it on a piece of Cultcast art, which I haven't released yet, but it shows you have a pretty killer beard. Is this like one of those little long, skinny ones that goes down?
At times, yes. It depends on where when that picture was from. Right now, I have a really much fuller, long goatee.
Okay.
I am completely bald, so it's the only hairstyle I can have. And I mean, let me tell you what I go through in the morning to get my beard to look the way it does. I mean, my wife makes this oil for me, secret formula.
She actually makes it herself.
She does. She mixes it herself.
Wow.
You know, jojoba oil, grapeseed oil, and some other essential minerals, you know.
I couldn't tell if you were being serious, but you're being dead serious.
Say, what is it? Like some ten?
Dead serious. She makes it, puts it in a little eyedropper for me, and you know.
So your beard is just like strands of steel. It's probably so strong.
I have a very strong beard game, yes.
Do you ever braid it into like a long braid that comes down? Because the shape of it, you would think it would make a really cool braid.
It actually naturally forks.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
like Satan's beard?
Kind of like Satan's beard. Now, depending on what I'm wearing on any given day, I could look pretty badass.
That's great. Yeah.
But really, I'm just a cupcake at heart, so.
Most tough guys are. Look at Buster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a real sweetheart. He just looks like he'll kill you. Oh, boy. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. What a show we have for you guys today. Here's what we got on the docket. So we're going to be talking about some news that came out last week, but I thought it was still worth mentioning because I want to hear your guys' take on this. Apple invested $1 billion in what is essentially the Chinese version of Uber. David, as I mentioned, is going to be covering more weird and wacky stories from the Cult of Mac. We're going to be talking about the new and notable stuff from the four different OS releases we got from Apple this week. Everything was updated, you might have noticed. And then we'll be wrapping up with an all-new Under Review, the segment where we talk about what we like and what we don't about the gadgets we're currently reviewing. I also want to mention, next week we're going to be doing a new segment that I've been calling As You Wish. As You Wish. And this is a segment where we'll talk about literally anything you, our beloved listeners, would like us to talk about. And here's how this will work. If you head on over to thecultcast.reddit.com, we'll have a stickied post up there. And you can upvote or downvote the suggestions made by our listeners there. You can also submit your own. And whatever is most popular there, I'll be coming through it next week. We'll be doing as a whole new segment, As You Wish. So this could be fun. We'll talk about stuff that's probably not Apple related. I mean, anything you guys want, we'll talk about. If you want to talk about how Buster gets his calves and pecs and in just ripped shape for summer, we could do that. It's totally up to you. So that'll be at thecultcast.reddit.com. Leander, would you like to say a few kind words about your favorite bear? Did we lose Leander Caney?
I guess we did, yeah.
We heard a little laugh, and then that was it.
Okay, hold on. You know what? We lost Leander. So this word about Leander's favorite bear is going to come direct from yours truly. Tunnel Bear. GetTunnelBear.com. The simple privacy app that makes it so easy to browse privately and enjoy more open internet. Visit TunnelBear.com to get your free Tunnel Bear. You can get 500 megabytes for free every month at GetTunnelBear.com. I also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Boy, oh boy, how useful is FreshBooks? I pay for it every single month. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. I've been using FreshBooks for years, and I remember when I first started using it, I was working with some clients, and I had paid for some stuff that I needed to recoup my expenses for. So I had taken pictures of my receipts, and I included them in my invoice to them, because in FreshBooks, you can assign expenses to various clients so that when you send out the invoices, those clients can recoup your expenses. And I remember talking to them after, and they were so impressed. No one else was sending them anything like this, and it was so seamless for them to see exactly what it was I was charging them for. And that kind of stuck with me because it made me look really professional in that instance. And that's what FreshBooks does. Not only is it going to save you a ton of time and make it easy for you to send invoices and collect payments from your clients, it's going to make you look super duper professional. It's also going to make tax time a cinch. That's why I love FreshBooks and I pay for it every single month. Get started with a free trial at FreshBooks.com/cultcast. FreshBooks.com/cultcast. Please use cultcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. By the background noise increase, I believe Leander Caney has rejoined us.
Yeah, sorry. The power went out. My Mac just turned off.
And, was it the whole building or just your Mac?
Well, I can't tell because I'm in the office, but I don't know. The whole, all the power in the office went off, so we lost everything, the internet and the lot, so it just came back up again. Weird. I don't know why. And there's nothing going on, I mean, no storm or...
It's just an old rickety building that you will probably end up dying in next time there's an earthquake.
Great.
Leander, check your mic level again for me, because I think...
Has it gone back up again?
I think it went back up.
Oh, yeah, there it is, 100%.
Let's start with this story about Apple investing $1 billion in Chinese Uber rival Didi Chuxing. Was anyone else totally floored by this investment? Was this totally not out of left field, Leander? What did you think about this?
Yeah, it is, and left field also that they actually mentioned the fact that they talked about it, the fact that they made a big noise about it, and didn't really provide a good explanation. Said it was for Tim Cook said it was for quote unquote strategic reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Including learning about parts of the Chinese economy, like the the app economy or.
I don't right. know, there
was, maybe it's probably a good, there were all kinds of commentary on it, right? And some people were suggesting that it might give them a bunch of data for a self-driving car. If they're following all these cars around, mm-hmm. They might be trying to line up a potential future customer for a future self-driving Apple car, so that they can sell a bunch of these to Didi when it comes out. Mm-hmm. They also, they're getting political and business connections in China, which can't do them any harm, to continue to do business there. So there were a whole bunch of different reasons cited. And maybe it's all of the above.
Yeah, it might be all of these things. I mean, of course, the car connection is what got me interested in this story. There was an analyst named Jack Kent from IHS Technology who said that companies often partner with Chinese companies. And it's a common way for them to get into the massive Asian markets. But Apple's already in the China market. So I don't know why they would need to partner with a company like this to gain access to the market. Tim Cook said that the deal reflects, and I'm quoting, reflects our excitement about their growing business, y'all, and also our excited confidence in the long term in China's economy. That basically says absolutely nothing except for the fact that they thought the business was exciting and so they decided to invest in it. So we really have no idea why they did this.
I wonder if part of it's not to make the Chinese government happy too, because they're always, you know, on their case. So maybe investing in Chinese companies will help them get better access to the country.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what that analyst Jack Kent was also saying. And that might be exactly why they did it. Maybe, I mean, because the Chinese government has been all up on Apple's rear.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this will help them politically in some way. But I do think it's interesting, even if that's true, I do think it's interesting that they decided to partner with this particular of technology company.
And why did they do Didi instead of Uber? Maybe Uber's too pricey at this point, and Didi is, you know, cheaper to buy into.
Is Uber operating in China?
I believe so, but I think it's had some hard times, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's struggling. Yeah. Didi's definitely the market leader there.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if it's because they don't have access to the Chinese market. Maybe they should have partnered with Didi.
Yeah.
Yeah. The car aspect, the car angle is definitely very interesting, especially with all the different rumors and what have you that we have been discussing over the last 6 months to a year about the Apple Car. And now Apple making an investment like this, it kind of makes you wonder, like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What exactly are you doing over there? Some more interesting Apple news regarding some new technology. So, Buster, I know you're just going to be like, this is such a lame story. Apple hires new points. Apple's new hires point to iPhone wireless charging. Was I right?
Well, I thought this was a surprising story, I guess.
Okay.
Because I don't know, did they really need to acquire Ubeam?
Did they acquire Ubeam or just some of its employees?
Oh, just former Ubeam employees, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I saw another story recently, too, that like Ubeam was kind of like a Theranos type company. Like they
like smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, like they boasted that they had amazing technology, but won't tell anybody how it actually works.
Yeah, and one of the former employees who made that claim wrote about this on his own personal blog, and he said basically it's because the technology didn't work.
Yeah,
and went against the laws of physics.
Okay, good hire.
But so Apple recently, this is all coming from The Verge. Apple recently hired two former Ubeam engineers. Ubeam was working on wireless charging. We've been talking about wireless charging coming to the iPhone forever. If or when, we have no idea when that will happen. And these guys had expertise in wireless charging. Well, The Verge did some more investigating, and they discovered that, in fact, in the last 2 years, Apple has hired more than a dozen people with expertise in wireless charging. So they seem to be getting a lot more serious about this. Here's what I thought was interesting about this story. So when you think wireless charging, a lot of people think those charging mats, you know, that you lay your devices down on. From my understanding, that's actually not wireless charging. That's inductive charging. They're separate things. What Apple has been working on, or what they have been trying to do, according to a Bloomberg report, is true wireless charging. So they would be able to charge your phone within a certain zone. And as long as you were inside this zone, you could have your phone in your pocket, and it would be charging as you were walking around, like, your living room or your bedroom or your car or what have you. See, now that is pretty exciting, Buster, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Way, way exciting.
That would be actually pretty baller.
The last time I've seen anything like info about that type of charging, though, is it's just such a waste of energy. Like, it doesn't transfer as well, obviously, as straight from an electric cable or even the inductive charging pads.
And that very well may be true. Maybe Apple will realize these two guys they hired from Ubeam totally pulled one over on them.
Well, right. Plus, doesn't this have to beam all kinds of, you know,
you're using radio waves,
causing
right?
Causing radiation in all directions. I mean,
you know what's funny is that was one of the first things I thought of too. Is do I want this being beamed around my home? We already have so many radio waves and all this stuff bouncing around our houses. I mean, do you want yet another technology shooting invisible beams around your house? I don't know if I do.
Not really.
Especially when it's that close to your kibble bits.
Right, in your pocket. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Would they need to build some kind of infrastructure to be able to charge batteries in a zone? How would that work?
I don't know. Maybe you would need like a little hub in your house that's going to blast.
That goes out so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I read about it, it was definitely contained within, you know, a certain area. It wasn't going to be, you know, covering your entire house or anything.
I remember doing a story years ago about this kind of system being used for keyboards and mice. So they would be truly wireless, and you wouldn't even need to plug them in to charge them up. There was Apple filed a patent, you know, that was, and it had a picture of an iMac that was beaming, you know, charging waves to the keyboard and the mouse that was like right underneath it. So they were pretty close, and you know, they would be charged wirelessly, and it wasn't, you know, I can't remember the name of what technology it used exactly. So they've been looking at this for a long time. Or a version of it.
You got to think this is the one area that Johnny I would probably love to go in and get rid of all the clutter.
Yeah, because, well, it would really work wireless, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, you have these beautiful machines, and no matter how beautiful the hardware is, you put them next to other devices and you have these mangled snake pits of wires that are kind of a necessary evil even in today's world. And I'm sure Johnny I would love to get rid of all those wires and just have some simple device that you set down. It's charged from another device that's halfway across the room. And the entire ecosystem of devices is powered by one cable that's plugged into a device, right? It's like your power beam station that just beams power to all your other devices. Because there's no way to make wires look good. They look like crap. No matter how cool you make the MagSafe adapter, it's still an unruly mess once you have everything plugged in and connected to each other. Buster, let's talk about updates this week.
Sexy updates.
These are not these are not that sexy.
Were any of them sexy,
iOS
Buster?
iOS 9.3.2.
Yeah, you thought that one was sexy?
I got off on it. I mean,
you got a low threshold, my friend.
Night shift and low power mode at the same time. That's pretty magical.
Yeah. It's erotic.
I think definitely. That was the only big feature.
Yeah, so for those of you expecting a bigger headline here, let's just run through these pretty quick. You might be somewhat disappointed. OS 10.11.5 stability and security fixes. iOS 9.3.2, as Buster mentioned, night shift while in low power mode, and bug fixes and security fixes. Apple Watch 2.2.1 contained a number of critical bug fixes and security fixes. And then we have iTunes 12.4. Now, this actually got a minor redesign. I think my first question is, does anyone actually use iTunes?
No, I haven't even opened it up to see what that redesign is. Yeah,
I never open it.
It just slows your computer all the way down, and it's hellish.
David, do you actually use iTunes?
I still have my like 2007 MacBook, and that's the only place I'll occasionally listen to iTunes. It still runs, but I have not used iTunes on my newer machine.
What version of iTunes is that? Like iTunes 3 or something?
3.5.7.
Hey, it's where all my music is, so, and I never update stuff. It's just,
and you've never updated it? Wow.
Nope. Because I'm afraid my machine will stop working.
And that's probably a very real concern with a machine that old.
Yeah.
This is what I did, and this is one of the reasons why I never use iTunes anymore. So I actually have a substantial music collection as well. I think my music collection was probably 45 gigs. I like high-quality music, so I don't know how many songs it is, maybe like 13,000 or something. And this is all – this I started on this, you know, popularization of music streaming services, right? So if you wanted music, you had to have it on your machine. I uploaded everything to Google Play Music. This was years ago because it's free. And then that way you can download the Google Play app and just listen to your music on your iPhone, or you can actually listen to it in your browser too. So now you don't even have to open iTunes anymore.
Nice.
So that's what you should do, David. That way you never have to actually open your Mac, and you can still access your entire music library.
That's a great idea.
Did I just blow your mind?
And I don't have like 14,000 songs. I have.
How many do you have?
Maybe 1,000.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I just I pick and choose tracks. I don't have whole albums or anything like that. So
I
just
see.
Whatever pumps me up, you know.
Yeah. Bee Gees.
Right. There's some Bee Gees.
We've established Celine Dion. That.
Is it all ZZ Top to match your beard?
I actually do have a ZZ Top song in there. What's that? Celine Dion?
I believe that. They've got cool beards too. I was going to say about Celine Dion is the thing about she really gets you pumped up, but then she takes you back to that emotional place. So you're feeling really good, and then all of a sudden you're just weeping.
You're bawling.
Yeah. And I'm pretty comfortable with weeping.
But it's hard to get work done. I guess that's my point. When you're just sobbing.
He just mops his eyes with his beard. And...
But I'm like Buster's beard. Buster can do both eyes at once. He can only do one. He has to dab at both eyes one at a time.
Yeah. Remember, my beard forks, so I can do both eyes at the same time.
Oh, you're right. Thank you for reminding me of that. Buster, so we talked about 10.11.5 OS 10. And we got a little leak for the updated version of OS 10, one that's going to be talked about at WWDC. And can you tell us what the revelation was there?
Siri for Mac icons. There's going to be two. I don't know. I don't know if this makes sense. Do you need a dock? There's going to be one in your dock and then another in the menu bar. I guess that makes sense if you hide your icon in the dock, right?
And you could also activate Hey Siri in the preferences, so if you'd rather do that. This is all from Mac Rumors, who from their source said it's coming at WWDC. I think this is one of the reasons why we didn't really see any major announcements this week. These were all really just kind of lame-o bug fix announcements, because WWDC is next month. And I mean, would it be silly of me to expect major announcements on all of these OSs, Buster? What do you think?
Oh, no, yeah. All of them will get updated for sure.
I'm really curious to see what they do with WatchOS as well.
Yeah, WatchOS 3.0 will come out.
Uh-huh.
Android, or did you see any of the Google stuff?
I did, yeah. I wasn't going to talk about that, but, you know, we can if you thought it was interesting.
No, I really didn't think it was interesting. That's like they came out with like Android Wear 2.0, and it was kind of like, meh. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know what Apple's going to put in WatchOS 3.0 to make it really exciting. So
that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, they have got to do something really compelling to make me want to buy it. And I just can't imagine what that will be. Like, I literally cannot even imagine what they're going to put in there that I would really want. Maybe a more accurate heart rate monitor, because the one I have now is super all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And well, a blood pressure monitor would be cool.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to make it in there. What were you saying, Leander?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things they could do. I mean, it's still horribly confusing. It's like it's still a complete mess, isn't it? The whole UI scheme. You know, swipe this way for that and swipe that way for that. And then, you know, press this button and press that button twice. And, you know, I think it still is confusing. Even after using it for a year, it's easy to get lost. I'm still frequently lost in the damn thing.
Well, you know what they need to do? They need to make, you know, like when you press on the digital crown and all the icons, you know, swoop in from the perimeter and you can like scroll around like that little circle of icons.
Yeah, which is hopeless.
They need to make those icons smaller. They take up too much space, don't you think?
Yeah. Even harder to hit, right? Make sure you hit like 6 or 7 of the wrong ones before you get the one you want.
I think we talked about this previously, didn't we? And then they need to include the iFinger, which is an adapter that goes over your current finger that has another finger that sticks off it, which is much smaller.
Yeah.
So you can actually pick out the thing. Icons.
I know, yeah. And they should add some more features, too, to make it even more confusing. You know, I think, and speed, if they could just fix the speed of it, would be great.
Yes. Actually, that would probably be my number one request, I think, right now. It's just slow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Navigating around is slow. It's constantly having to think. And also, using Siri on it is dreadfully slow. You just, anytime I ask my Apple Watch anything, it takes 5 seconds to figure out what I said, and then it has to think while it connects to the iPhone to actually give me back the information that I want. And especially after using the Echo, Leander,
yeah,
it becomes painfully clear how somewhat outdated Siri is becoming, and slow and sluggish, because the Echo is just instantaneous and understands what I'm saying virtually every single time I use it. And then there's Siri, which, as many of you know, I haven't had much success with.
Well, Siri on the desktop will be interesting, won't it, Buster? I mean, especially, what did you think of Google's Google Voice thing yesterday?
With, like, the assistant?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's, that stuff is still, like, very basic, even that. I don't know if, like, you can get...
Well, that video they...
You can get, like, answers quick. I don't know what is it super useful? I think it's, like...
Well, the demo video made it look like it was, didn't it? It looked like the thing was, you know, an old-seeing, old-knowing Star Trek computer that was completely amazing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they make Echo seem like that, too.
you know what it reminded me of?
And it's not.
Yeah. Well, it looked just like... You remember the old Knowledge Navigator video that Apple made back in the 80s?
No.
yes, I do remember that.
It was just like that. And that starred, what's his face, didn't it? Oh, heck, you know, the movie star. Oh, my goodness. Dances with
Matthew
Wolves.
Matthew McConaughey?
No.
Oh, Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner,
the 80s
yeah.
version of Matthew McConaughey, yeah. Wasn't that, he was talking to his computer and he was asking his assistant, you know, what have I got coming up today? And can you get this paper? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it was, you know, it's weird, isn't it? 30 years later and it's exactly the same sort of techno-utopian baloney. Because there's no way it's going to work.
Techno-utopian baloney.
There's no way it's going to work like that.
Absolutely, positively,
completely
not.
Flawless and answering everyone's questions and not goofing anything up.
Yeah, definitely not. And you'll probably realize that 10 seconds after you get it out of the box.
Yeah,
it is interesting though that Google now is also making a play into having this, you know,
well, right,
household robot to understand and get everything you say and give you information.
And this is what Siri on the Mac will be like, right? I mean, I think people this will be Apple's version now. They'll just rely on people who've already got the hardware. They'll just turn on the AI assistant.
Maybe, but I find myself using the Echo more than I find myself using Hey Siri, especially because, well, two reasons. One is because I have to say Hey Siri, and I don't like saying two things. How lazy have we become? I only want to say one word to activate the voice recognition. So on my Amazon Echo, it comes pre-installed as the word is Alexa. You have to say Alexa to activate it. I switched that to Echo because I felt like it was shorter. It's less syllables anyway. And just because Hey Siri on my iPhone, oftentimes when I say it, just doesn't activate the iPhone. I feel like Apple may need to have one of these devices too. Don't you think? Don't you think they may need to have like a hub of some kind that is as easy to talk to as Alexa or as like the new Google Assistant?
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's what your Mac, you know, presumably that's what your Mac would be, right? If you have a desktop Mac sitting around.
Yeah, but your desktop Mac is probably not, well, oftentimes it's not in my living room. So it wouldn't be able to serve the same function. You know, the Echo is always sitting in the same place.
Right. So, yeah, well, you already have it on your Apple. You know where Siri works really well is on the Apple TV. It's actually really good on that, I found.
And that's
true.
I agree.
We've been playing around. And, you know, but you have to press the button on the remote, which kind of somewhat, you know, makes it a little more. You have to think about it. You know, you can't just yell out something. I mean, if they activated it somehow on the Apple TV, it was always on. You could just yell, "Hey Siri."
That's true. That would be useful if it actually worked.
Yeah. Well, then there's that.
I'm actually interested in the Google Assistant thing. I think it looks pretty cool, and I'm more part of the Google ecosystem than I am a part of the Amazon ecosystem. The Amazon Echo is the only Amazon device I really have in my home that I actually use. With a Chromecast, I have that, and that thing is great. And then also the new Google iMessage app, the equivalent app.
Hello?
Hello. Hello, Governor. I just made that connection. That actually looks pretty cool. So it's like a universal text messaging app, communication app. You can use it to make phone calls. You can use it to make what are essentially FaceTime calls, but you can use it to send messages and communicate with Android and iOS devices. And this is actually a really cool feature. When you make a video call to somebody, while it's ringing, that person on the other side who you're calling can actually see you already or see what you're doing. So it's like a video version of caller ID. And I was like, that's actually pretty gosh darn cool.
Yeah.
Buster, yeah?
Yeah. I thought it was cool. Apparently Apple News did not think it was cool because they deleted our article about it, the jerks.
What?
Yeah. They sent Leander a notice saying that there was no original content, but I suspect the real reason was because the headline said, Duo is like FaceTime for everyone, only better.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And they deleted it. Why? What was their reason?
They said no original content? Was that what they said?
Yeah, yeah. I just got a note saying, you know, hey, big problem with your Apple News feed. You know, this article doesn't has been flagged because it doesn't, you know, because it's it doesn't follow, you know, Apple News guidelines. And it says the reason, and then bullet point, not enough original content. So it's like, what? You know, it's all original content. I mean, it may not be Proust, but you know, it didn't copy and paste it from somewhere. But
yeah,
and you know, and so I was just trying to log in this morning to take a look and see how you fix that. And of course, I got mired in the into the settings of the thing. Cut a long story short, I got, you know, like I started messing around with something else inside there and didn't get to look at the article. So I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It's weird. And like Buster, you know, Buster's suggesting that I think that they have, you know, that there's a bunch of canned responses that they can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
So, but you know, I would be, it's a crazy line for them to be crossing if they're starting to like censor stuff that is critical of Apple. I mean, you know, they're going to have to cut out whole publications if they're going to go down that route. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like that that story that Facebook was removing conservative stories from their trending news area, and also removing stories that were about Facebook. It's like what they say is that they're neutral and that anything can end up in that area. I would imagine Apple News is the same way. So when they start editorializing what ends up, you know, in people's streams and stuff, it kind of makes you go, maybe this is actually not as neutral as they purport it to be.
Well, right. You know, it's like it's either, you know, they have an algorithm to run it, or they have a human, or they have a mix of both. And that's what Facebook's saying, is they have a mix of both. And if you look at, do you remember Google News in the early days when it was purely algorithmic? I mean, it wasn't long before that became a complete and utter mess. And you had all these like SEO type shenanigans going on where do you remember that Gods and Monsters was one website that used to get in, they used to game Google News all the time, and they would copy and paste, I think, stuff from other people's websites, and they would load it with a bunch of keywords, and they would always get top of Google News. And that, you know, that was junk really quickly because the algorithms were so easy to mess around with.
Yeah, once people figure out how the algorithms work, it's like that that Twitter bot that Microsoft released, you know, and everyone trained it to be racist within 24 hours. Yeah. It's like people will figure out how to screw it up if it's just robotic. Like,
right.
Unfortunately, there always needs to be a human involved, it seems. Okay, before we move on to more weird and wacky stories from the cult of Mac, Leander, do you want to tell us more about Tunnel Bear?
Tunnels? Right, the bear that tunnels to anywhere in the world you want to. A VPN, virtual private network, and it is absolutely it's a fundamental. It's a must-have. It's right up there, top five things that you should install on a new Mac or a new iPad, a new iPhone. It's definitely one of the most important things you can put on to your device, you know, it's super useful. It's absolutely essential if you're going to be surfing anywhere in a public space. You have to have Tunnel Bear to safeguard your data as it goes over other people's Wi-Fi connections. You never know what they who you're connecting to and what they could be looking at. Tunnel Bear makes it completely secure. It's got top-notch military-grade encryption. It's super fast, doesn't slow anything down. And it's a super useful tool if you want to connect to other countries. And sometimes that's for privacy reasons. Maybe you want to connect to a country like Spain or Sweden that have very, very strong privacy laws, much stronger than they are here in the U.S. And that means that companies are taking a lot more precautions to safeguard your privacy. So your surfing is going to be a lot safer if you don't want people to see what you're looking at for any reason.
Ooh, and
there are lots of good reasons why you wouldn't want people to be looking at what you're doing.
You know, I bet you have a lot of good reasons.
Well, there's good practical reasons. You know, if you're looking for anything health or financial, you know, it's a good idea to keep that stuff away from the snooping eyes of your ISP. And as we discussed last week, you know, ISPs are now you know, very actively looking at what their customers are doing because they want to sell. They want to you know, mine that data to be able to sell you advertising. And this is one of the fastest growing segments of the advertising business, where the actual ISPs, including the wireless carriers, are looking at what you're doing and you know, and selling that data to advertisers. So
didn't you say AT&T would let you? Would let you pay them a fee of like $30 to not do that to you?
Right. So I looked this up, and it was this is a new development. This is like in the last October, AT&T in Kansas City. If you sign up for their broadband service, you can pay an extra, I think it was 70, no, I'm sorry, $30 a month on top of your basic charges, your basic broadband charges, an extra $30 a month for them not to look at what you're surfing, see what you're up to online.
That's unbelievable.
So it's a $30 opt-out. Yeah, and someone had a great analogy. It's like paying the postman, you know, an extra $30 so that he doesn't open your mail and see what you're you know, see what
tell your
getting.
Wife you're getting letters from your girlfriend.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, you know, this is a really big part of this is a big growing segment, and the carriers, you know, don't want to be dumb pipes. They want to get into the lucrative advertising business and retarget you. So the internet is a huge spy machine. Everything you do is being spied upon. So you want to get a VPN, like Tunnel Bear, to keep your privacy, you know, and what you're up to online, you know, private.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Right. And you can get a free trial if you go to gettunnelbear.com. Gettunnelbear.com and sign up for a free trial. It's totally free. You can totally test it out, and you can see how easy it is to use. It really is. It's so easy. My mom uses it. My mom uses it all the time to watch the Great British Bake Off and other shows, EastEnders from the UK. She's from the UK, but she lives here in San Francisco. So my mom, who is not exactly a technophile, but she loves to use Tunnel Bear to watch British TV shows.
GetTunnelBear.com. GetTunnelBear.com. David Pierini. What do you got for us this week, sir?
Well, as our readers know, I've been taking a look at some of the artwork that came about after the death of Steve Jobs. We're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And
gosh, are we already? Wow.
We are, yeah, October 5th. And tomorrow's offering on cultofmac.com, I tracked down the graphic design student from Hong Kong who created that Steve Jobs tribute logo, where a silhouetted profile of Jobs becomes the bite of the Apple logo. And it completely went viral after Jobs died. And the story is about, you know, what happened after that went viral and where his career has kind of taken off. And he's doing all sorts of, you know, commissioned work for ad agencies like Ogilvy Mather and yeah, it's just he's just a really interesting kid, really humble. He's 24 now.
Well, he was a design student when he did that, right? So he didn't have a career.
Right. He was a design student, and it was interesting because he actually did not create the logo after Jobs died. He started playing around with the idea of incorporating Jobs in the logo after he announced his resignation from Apple 2 months before he died. He posted it then, didn't get any kind of response. Jobs dies, he posts it, and social media went berserk. And now you see this image on iPhone cases, T-shirts, other merchandise, even tattoos. Some people have gotten that image tattooed on their arm. And in fact, we featured one of them recently when I did a story about Steve Jobs tattoos.
What art piece did you say this was, David?
This was the logo, the tribute logo, where Steve Jobs' silhouetted profile is the bite of the apple.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. And you must have seen it everywhere. So, you know, it was,
yeah,
it was
definitely
everywhere.
Also, I thought that was a photograph.
Well, you know,
was it not?
It wasn't, because there were some photographs of Jobs, you know, at you know, WWDC and stuff like that, where he would pass and his head was kind of in the middle of the Apple logo. But he just started playing around with a picture and incorporating it into the Apple. There was some controversy after this. An artist out of England claimed to have created that image first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Jonathan Mock Long is his name, he was saying, I never saw a previous example of this idea. I'm not saying it wasn't done before me, but I'm doing this. I did it just for myself and for Apple fans. I'm not trying to cash in on this at all. But he has since, you know, gone on to, you know, have a great start to a career as a graphic designer. He just did a logo for Coca-Cola that won a big award that's, I guess, equivalent to the Oscars in the ad world. So he's doing, you know, some good work already.
So how did this logo get Ogilvy's attention? This is what got him his first commission?
Well, two things happened. This kid on October 5th, 2011, just happened to have a Genius Bar appointment at the Hong Kong Apple store. So he's bringing his Mac in for some repair, and he finds out that Jobs dies, and so he makes this, he prints out the image that he had done 2 months prior, makes a bunch of stickers, and, you know, is passing it out at the Apple store, where people were starting to gather and lay flowers and other kinds of tributes. And immediately, news media just glammed onto that and started interviewing him. At the same time, he posts it. I don't know if he posted it on Facebook or his blog, but it goes viral at the same time. And within 72 hours following Jobs' death, he was getting hundreds of messages, emails, messages to his blog. He said that at one point he was getting 2 media interview requests per hour for like 3 days straight.
That's like me on a normal day, yeah.
Yeah, on a normal day, not even a busy day.
And, you know, this kid, he is so completely humble, and he was really, really neat to talk to.
Yeah, it's a clever image, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, super clever.
And but I have to tell you another story, a story that's probably not going to make the website. But, you know, a guy in Uzbekistan who's been noticing that we're doing these stories on people who've created Steve Jobs art sends me an email and says, hey, would you like to see this painting hanging in your office? And he had created this painting that he entitled The 3 Apples That Changed the World. And there are portraits. One is of Isaac Newton, then there's Steve Jobs in the middle, and then there's this woman off to the right. And the email was really strange, and he talked about how he's tried to sell it to everybody from Mark Zuckerberg to Tim Cook to Steve Wozniak, and they actually had reported him for harassing them. And so I sent him a little email back saying,
pushy, huh?
Hey, yeah, tell me, can you send me some of those emails that you got from Wozniak? And by the way, I see one person is Isaac Newton. I see Jobs. Who's the third person? It's a woman. Is that Fiona Apple? And turns out it's Eve.
So she had posons.
Yeah.
Well, so, I gotta say, Fiona Apple's first album title was amazing. So I think that would be appropriate, but Fiona, that's just my opinion.
But it's kind of funny. So he sends me his correspondence with Steve Wozniak, and it's really weird and uncomfortable. Huh. I mean, at first Wozniak is saying, you know, art's not my thing. And then the guy comes back and he says, what are you talking about? You know, this is this great painting. You were closest to Steve Jobs, and At one point, Wozniak gets frustrated with him and says, look, get away from me, stop contacting me, or I'll report you. And this guy actually says, oh, Woz, chill out. You know, so it's a really funny little exchange. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? Because it's funny, but it's also creepy and a little, you know. So, but I thought it was funny.
So this guy was trying to get Woz to buy it?
He sent me a list of people. And, I mean, this thing was like a screen long of all the people he had contacted about, hey, buy my painting. I mean, Eddie Q was on the list, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. I mean, it was just really all these big names in technology. And, of course, nobody has bought the painting so far. So,
Was it a good painting?
Yeah, have you seen it?
Well, I recognize Isaac Newton and I recognize Steve Jobs.
Okay.
And but the woman kind of looks, her brain, like she has water on the brain or something. It was a really weird, it's almost, it wasn't very good. Maybe he started that painting early on in his career and that was the first person he painted. I don't know, but I didn't recognize her as Eve. I thought she looked a little weird.
I think that answers the question right there.
But even if it was an exact likeness of the actual Eve, I probably wouldn't buy that painting. And, you know, and if he was harassing me, I'd probably do the same and report him.
I don't like that Woz that he's going to report him. Like, report him to who? He's sending you emails, dude. All you got to do is put him in the spam folder. You know, problem solved.
Well, this is, you know, this is just what he told me and what he wrote to me. So. Yeah. So now, you know, the remains to be seen if I can shake him, you know, if I start become the target of his.
You're going to be the new Woz.
You want to buy it?
He's going to be like, hey, you seem like you have a good eye for art. Maybe you want this painting. It's only $500,000.
And then I asked him, I said, well, so do you make a living as an artist? And you know, how many things, you know, how many paintings have you created? Do you work in other mediums? Just little basic stuff, basic questions like that. And he's like, oh, I don't paint too much. I drew a little bit in school. And I mean, I guess from that standpoint, if he's only created one or two paintings, it looks pretty good, but,
this whole thing is totally bizarre.
It is bizarre. Maybe we can turn him into our Uzbekistanian correspondent, though. Maybe he can, you know, do some reporting on Apple culture from, you know, the East.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder thought, if... Oh, my... It's like Borat. Well, it
very
but it
nice.
Just... it was very... it was a very strange email, and I'm going to have to tell him, you know, after consulting with editors, we're just not interested in doing this story.
Well, I know. So share the picture. Let's, you know, it's a bizarre story. It's going to be hard to come across in print, isn't it, to get across a story like that?
Yeah.
It's easy if you talk about it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to include a link to the photo, David.
Yeah, but why don't we put the photo in the post, the show notes?
Yeah, we will. We will. That'll be in there for all to see.
And if anyone wants to buy it, get in contact with this guy.
you'll
hook him up with a buyer.
Definitely. You take a commission off that too, David. You deserve it.
Well, 10%. His first name is Bekzod, Bekzod.
Wow. Okay, Bekzod.
Yeah.
He's gonna get that painting sold one way or another. All righty. Well, let's move on to the last segment of the show, Under Review, where we review what we like and what we don't about the gadgets and gizmos we're currently reviewing. David's going to set this one out because he said he has nothing cool.
Oh, bummer. He would have lost anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he really kind of already. Well, we're not voting, so.
No winner?
There's that. Oh. There's not going to be a winner. I could just randomly declare a winner if you want.
All right.
And actually, David already, I guess, kind of did already go because he introduced a product, his wife's homemade beer strengthening oils at the top of the show. So, which is going to be better than any product I believe we'll probably be talking
created about. Created the recipe based on a sophisticated algorithm.
Wow. Did she really? Wow. Scientific method was involved in creating this oil.
Circling it back to technology.
I would expect nothing less. Buster, I got to hear what yours is, man, because you've been pretty bombastic about this.
Not even.
Pick.
I'm just gonna go with a watch, actually, a smartwatch.
Okay.
Oh. It's called the Garmin Fenix 3 HR.
Garmin Fenix 3.
Yeah, it's like a GPS running watch. It's like really good for outdoorsy stuff. And yeah. It's almost replaced my Apple Watch because I had the last year's model, but it didn't have a heart rate sensor. But this year they added a heart rate sensor, which is killer. And its GPS is way better than the Apple Watch. And its battery is just way, way better. Like, I have to recharge it maybe once a week.
Yeah, that's significantly better for sure.
I mean, like, it doesn't have as many amazing apps as the Apple Watch, but I don't use any of those. So for like
amazing apps, wait, hold on,
right?
Did you just use amazing apps and Apple Watch on the same sentence?
Yeah, and also it has this crazy feature called third-party watch faces. So you can change the watch face to whatever you want, or you know.
Oh, I like
that.
Yeah,
that's something Apple should do. So it's pretty awesome, and it's super tough, which is great because I lost my Apple Watch one time cliff jumping, and this thing it doesn't come off. It's also has a sapphire glass display, so I'm not going to break it.
This thing looks like a beast.
It is a bit beastly, but once you get used to, you know, having 5 pounds of steel on your wrist, that's also part of my workout regimen. So,
right, exactly. Yeah, so you got giant bulging biceps on your left arm.
I just mean like utilitarian. This is like the perfect watch for you.
Yeah, no, it is.
It just does a bunch of stuff. The Apple Watch. The Apple Watch tries to do a lot of these fitness stuff.
But it doesn't get any of it really right. It doesn't nail
exactly.
it. And this one nails all of it. The only problem with it, I would say, is it doesn't have wireless payments. If it had wireless payments or like Apple Pay, that would be, you know, just game over, I think.
That would be undeniably cool. Although, how many places do you actually find that you get to use your Apple Watch?
More and more now, mostly at gas stations and stores, you know, like CVS or the grocery store.
Okay.
But
none of my local grocery stores, for whatever reason, none of them accept Apple Pay yet, except for Trader Joe's. That's it. So really, Trader Joe's. In fact, Trader Joe's might be the only place that I can use my Apple Watch.
Oh, dude. That's...
I'm not shopping at Walgreens all that often.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the most popular ones here.
Yeah, man. This thing looks great.
Yeah, only...
It's only $599.99.
Right. Not as cheap as the Apple Watch is the only problem with it.
But this is their top of the line.
Yeah.
Smartwatch, fitness watch, right? Because they just released some new ones that I was looking into recently that were more in like the $350 range. I really want to try a watch that does fitness better than the Apple Watch. I have a ton of problems with my Apple Watch and the fitness, especially the heart rate monitor.
Yeah.
It's so wildly inaccurate. And I took it into the Apple store and the guy said, oh, well, you should try to wipe the Apple Watch and maybe that will fix it. So I did that. That didn't fix it. And unfortunately, I just procrastinated too long. Uh-huh. And by the time I finally got around to going into the Apple Store, my warranty was just like 3 or 4 days out of I was out of warranty 3 or 4 days, and the guy said he actually wouldn't be able to do anything for me. Unlike the iPhone, you know, where they'll take care of you generally 45 days after your warranty expires, he said he couldn't do anything. He's like, you got to call Apple Care and maybe they'll do something for you. He's like, but you're out of warranty. There's nothing I can do for you. And if you want to replace the heart rate monitor, it's $200. I'm like, well, the freaking Apple Watch is $350 now, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, bro, sorry. I think that's literally what he said. So word to the wise, if you got a problem with your Apple gadget, just don't wait thinking they're going to automatically give you coverage when you're out of warranty. Because that's the first time I've had that happen. They didn't actually do it. Leander, what do you got?
So I've been looking at some new headphones from Moshi, which is a San Francisco company, better known, I think, for cases and and battery packs, right? So this is their first on-ear headphones. They do have earbuds, but they just launched some, you know, premium on-ear headphones, and they're called Avanti. They're being launched next week. They're $200. They're very lightweight.
I'm sorry.
What's funny about that?
No, there's nothing funny about that at all. I just saw the painting David posted. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Eve looks like a cone.
Can you see how I was
I can see why everybody called the cops on this guy.
She comes from France. Wow. This is the painting.
And the title is New Steve. So you got the N-E-W of Newton, and then Steve, of course, and then Eve.
And then Fiona Apple. Actually, Fiona Apple's not a bad guess.
Yeah, thank you. I don't feel so bad.
I would have no idea who this was. And if he was trying to portray that this was Eve, why didn't he put her in fig leaves or something? Like, why is she wearing a toga?
She's got the apple.
Well, yeah, she does. She's the only one holding an apple.
But it's just a woman holding an apple. You would never know that this was Eve. It's like, it's just a lady holding an apple.
Yeah.
I know. And she's making those come to bed eyes.
Yeah, she's looking at Steve all sensually.
I can't believe
she should be like, and is that Jimmy Page? Yeah.
What's Jimmy Page doing in the photo?
Like I said, 2 out of 3, he was almost spot on, but
the Isaac Newton is actually pretty darn good.
It is.
It's pretty darn good. Like, I would know that was Isaac Newton. And then, of course, Steve Jobs actually looks like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, yeah. But,
and they're all, like, hovering in the sky.
But
together.
Eve is a monstrosity.
Yeah, Eve. And her hands are small. And, you know, maybe women had really, really small hands back in time, you know.
Yeah, maybe. She does have tiny Trump hands. Like, they're barely able to contain the small apple that she's holding. Okay, I'm sorry to get us off track. Leander, you were saying it's Moshi headphones, and you're telling us the price.
Yeah, $200. They've been launched next week. And they're on-ear headphones. You know, so I've been using Big Cup headphones recently. And, you know, they always sound, and these sound as good as some really good cup headphones that I've got. But they sit on your ear and they fold up too, so they're easy to put into your bag or to this carrying case that it comes with. And I just thought they were really nicely. They're very, really lightweight. They're really easy to wear for a long period of time. They sound absolutely great, and they sort of sit on your head. Oh, and they come with a microphone to make phone calls too. So you know they're the first sort of really sort of lightweight. On your ear headphones that I've worn for a long time that I think are as good as the bigger cup ones that sit, you know, that cover your the whole on ear ones.
And you said these are the Moshi.
Moshi Avanti, AVANTI, and they're being launched next week.
Oh, you can't even buy them yet.
No.
Linda's got the pre-production versions. Alrighty, my pick is my pick. I've been reviewing for a while. You guys know I like smart lights. I love smart lights. I just think they're the future. And the Philips light have been kind of the preemptive smart lights, the ones that everyone buys. But there are other brands out there. Did I say preemptive? I meant predominant. Predominant. When I use words that actually mean what I think they mean. Smart lights. I've been using some by a company called Illumi. You may have heard about them. They've kind of been getting their name out there. And they make smart bulbs as well, except their smart bulbs, at least so far that I've seen, aren't compatible with HomeKit, which means you can't control them via Siri. But they are still useful. I have a couple in my house, and they have some useful features. You have to control them via the Illumi app. And they have a zillion colors, you know, you can churn them a zillion colors with the app just as you can the Hue lights. And you can churn them on and off via the app. So you have a lot of those smart light functionalities built in. But the Illumi, since they are controlled with Bluetooth, can have some unique modes. So when you walk into a room or walk out of a room, they have this mode called torch mode, which will turn the light on and off depending on, you know, where you are, how your proximity to the light. So you don't actually have to turn the lights on and off in your house. I haven't really used that a lot yet. It doesn't necessarily feel like a super useful feature to me, but I bring it up because maybe somebody out there is super conscientious about turning their lights on and off. And I guess you'd probably have to live alone too to use this feature.
Irfan, I actually have a couple of Illumi bulbs. I reviewed them early on. Wrote some stories about them, and the bulbs are great. I find the app is a little buggy sometimes.
I concur. Yeah. And I think that one of the biggest weaknesses with the bulbs is the app. Is you're funneled into using the app to control these lights, and the app is just not that great of an experience.
Well, and they were on Shark Tank, and their big investor was Mark Cuban.
Oh,
which
really?
Is kind of surprising because I would have thought he would be like, you know, on him pretty heavily about getting the app bugs worked out. But
yeah, you would think that he would be pretty adamant about that, huh? Although Mark Cuban's also working on an app called Cyberdust. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
Where it's like encrypted, secure text messaging and stuff that that wipes out the text message after a certain amount of time, so people can't, you know, keep something that you say for like 2 or 3 months. But both parties have to be using it in order for it to be effective. And as he was describing it, I'm like, who's going to actually ever use this? Anyway, I digress. Yeah, the app isn't great, and some of the modes I have found don't necessarily work all the time. So one of the things I thought was going to be really cool about it is you could set a schedule for a light so that, you know, at 4, you know, p.m. or something when it gets dark in Seattle in the winter, it gets dark really early. Your light would automatically come on, and then in the morning, you know, at 7 a.m. it would turn off. But I have found that those modes don't necessarily work all the time. I would set them and they would just never do anything. And plus, my lights were constantly resetting themselves. So you would set a light to turn on, and you would have it set to a certain color, and then it would just randomly restart itself and go back to its default color and its default brightness. So not necessarily, in my experience, the most reliable lights, but you don't need to have a home controller, which you do with the Philips Hue lights. You have to have this controller in your house that you know controls everything. And the lights can communicate with one another on the Illumi system, and you don't need this controller. So they're less expensive. I think an Illumi bulb is what, Dave, like $50 or something?
Yeah, they've really come down in price. I think they started out at around $80, and now they're like $59.95
Wow, okay.
Last time I checked. So
it's a good product, not as good as the Philips Hue bulbs, I don't think, but they're also significantly less expensive than the Philips bulbs. So I definitely think they're a product worth checking out if you are interested in smart bulbs. That's my pick.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys sound thrilled. Are you on their website right now buying them?
Dude,
is that why you're
I'm just
so quiet?
Like Googling at these lights.
I know what you're doing. You're writing up an email to this guy, making him an offer on this sweet ass painting that you want to hang in your living room.
That Eve, she's just those eyes. God.
They just draw me in. They're so sensual. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. My thanks again to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Head on over to freshbooks.com/cultcast. Get started with your free trial. Also, head over to thecultcast.reddit.com. Tell us what you want us to talk about on next week's As You Wish segments. We definitely want to hear from you. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, maybe you want to paint a picture of us. You need us to send you some photo examples. On Twitter, I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3R, Leander is L. Caney. And David has yet to join Twitter.
Waiting for the next thing to come along.
Yeah, just join Snapchat. That's going to take over anyway. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys. David, it's all you.
Next time.
That's so enthusiastic, too. Great.
I've been working on it.
Have you been practicing?
Yes, in the mirror.
It sounds like you've been practicing in the mirror.
Yeah.
I feel like I do it 10 times a day. Go in the mirror and I just say it.
As I'm oiling my beard.
Yeah. Just like stroking with oil. You're like, next time. And then you turn away from the mirror and then you turn back to the mirror. Next time.
I'm going to stop practicing too.
Alrighty.
Oh, well, that was good.
Well, this picture is indeed glorious. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I kind of want it.
You know, now that we've talked about it, yeah, it's that much more attractive.
I just zoomed in on it more. So I'll tell you who this picture actually kind of looks like now that I have it blown up. It's Jimmy Page, Dave Matthews, and Fiona Apple. The guy in the middle looks exactly like Dave Matthews.
That's who we should try next, isn't it? Try those guys.
That's what he needs to do.
Get that on tape. Yeah, send it to him.
He should email all three of those musicians and just be like, "You're my favorite three musicians. Do you want to buy this painting I made of you?"
I know. Yeah. Someone's gonna, you know, Dave Matthews. He's probably pick it up, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. This looks like his style for sure. Wouldn't it be funny if you were watching like MTV Cribs in like 5 years, and they're going to be like Fiona Apple's house, and there it is, a painting in her living room. I bought this from one of my listeners. I just had to have it.
Yeah.
He only charged me $500,000. I just love Jimmy Page, too.